Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 everybody. I am, as you just heard, Bishop Randy Dean, and you have landed in the zone called No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love easily devolve into BS. And that kind of living is inauthentic. It's shallow. It lives in a zone of fear and hurt. So I'm here to live in a zone of love. I'm calling you to join me in that zone. So I'm going to talk to you about the zone of love and exiting the zone of fear and hurt, because that's fear is what it actually creates a loveless life. And the opposite of love is not hate. Actually, the opposite of love is fear. So we're going to talk about that. Leaving the zone of fear and hurt. Come on into the zone of love. So if you've been here before, you know I've got a couple of habits here that I present to you to help you and me to get into that zone of love. And if you've never been here before, welcome. Thank you for giving me the honor and the trust of a half an hour of your life and time. I'll do my best to not waste 1 minute of it. So I offer here two things that get me started. First is the Lord's Prayer, and the second is Love's Creed. Lord's Prayer, as you would guess, is written by the Lord. Love's Creed, as you may not guess, is written by yours truly, myself. The Lord's Prayer, most prayed prayer in human history, I think is overdone in a vain way and underdone in a truly appreciated way. Overdone, Jesus said, don't pray vainly, meaning don't just empty your words out your mouth without them entering your heart and your mind. Don't repeat vainly. So the Lord's Prayer has been overdone that way, but it's been underdone with a true appreciation. And that's why I'm doing it right now with you. I want you to join me in making sure it has entered your heart and your mind. To that end, it is phenomenal. It's magnificent. It's a short paragraph that encapsulates the mind and the heart of Jesus when he said, this is how you pray. So here we go. If you know it, join me. If you don't, listen and tune into it on some level that enters your heart and mind. Here's the wisdom that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There's a meditation there, and it's free for every day, every moment of every day, if you so choose. And it can become a wonderful and profound contemplative way to live your life. Now, Love's Creed, something I wrote a little over a decade ago for a New Year's resolution, and it's become for me a true creed. And I'm offering it to you on the same level, a creed for life. If you'd like a copy, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Otherwise, just listen in with me. I'm going to give it to you in total. Then I'll go back and I'll ask you to repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, repeat after me, if you will. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, there you have it. Come on, join me in that zone of love. And come join me in a path out of the zone of fear and hate, out of the zone of fear and hate and hurt. That's what I'm talking to you about today. This is my subject du jour. Getting our life out of the zone of fear and hurt and the consequential hate. Moving our life toward the zone of love. So I know this will be coming out, especially for the Sunday broadcast on the radio, but it'll be out in about the same amount of time for my podcast. It'll be coming out around Father's Day. So if you will, hold on tight with me, bear with me. I've got some personal anecdotes, some personal experience to talk about out of my own experience as a father, my relationship with my father, and that zone of fear and hurt that so many people live with, but not many of us are talking about it. I've chosen to live as vulnerable and as out front with you as I know how to, and as much as I can in a half an hour of this particular podcast. So the zone of fear and hurt for Randy Dean was easily accessible and offered to me quite routinely as I grew up through my formative years and into around the time of my high school years is when things got better. They didn't get fixed. They didn't get healed. I certainly didn't just run quickly to the zone of love, but I got out of or started my journey out of a zone of fear and hurt. So my family is would be the common vernacular, was quite dysfunctional. It was just four of us, mom, dad, my brother, and myself. My brother was six, almost 7 years older than me. So I was really the puppy. I was the little guy in the bunch. And I don't know what the mental health issues were for my brother, but I do know in retrospect and in evaluating and through a lot of counseling and through being a part of 12-step groups and codependency and my recovery. Hi, I'm Randy. I'm a codependent. I'm in recovery. And I'm in recovery because I know, in part, the challenge of my childhood was marked by a great amount of my own brother's problematic issues and mental health challenges, and then later serious addictions, which back in about 2017, he died by suicide through an overdose. An intentional, raucous last day of his life was in everybody's putting the pieces together. We know that he was intentionally seeking to die at the early age of about 72. Now, all of that to be said, my childhood was immersed in a zone of fear and hurt, which ended up in some zones of hate as well. Because, see, I don't think nobody's born to hate. Nobody is born to hate. You have to be taught that. Or if you're not taught it explicitly, implicitly, hate becomes a part of our curriculum and our way of living because we're so dipped in fear and hurt. I want you to hear that again. Nobody's born to hate. We're born to love. Love is our DNA from the minute we draw our first breath on this earth. It's in our DNA for moms and dads. Again, this is coming out on Father's Day. Love is that instinct that will hit if there's any kind of definitive moment in recognizing it, you'll know we were born in love. We were born for love. And you have to learn to hate. And that learning curve is quite easily gathered as you find yourself in a zone of fear and hurt. Fear is the enemy of the human condition. Fear expresses itself in a thousand ways, even daily, whether it be our being able to live well, have a healthy life, find ourselves with a structure for shelter, whether it's a physical structure in a home or emotional, psychological structures that give us footsteps to be able to know we're going to be okay at the end of the day. Fear is the enemy, I think, of the quality of life. And then if we are not finding ways to have conversations with people around us that we trust, or we can find a counselor or a spiritual mentor, a pastor, somebody, a priest, somebody somewhere we can trust, fear develops into this painful way of looking at the big wide world around us. And then fear is the construct of hate. We will hate what we fear. That's sort of instinctual in a sense. The hot stove, if I fear it as I should, I certainly hate the blisters I get if I touch a hot stove. So that natural process there that I just described can help you understand that in larger portions, when we go out about life and our relationships and our means of working, our employment or our recreational life or our family life, when there is fear, then we find ourselves instinctively hating what we fear. If somebody's consistently on a daily basis harassing us on a job site, we develop a natural fear of having to go to work. If I get up in the morning and I'm anticipating abuse, if I'm anticipating someone's meanness, and if I'm being sexually harassed or if I'm being emotionally, psychologically harassed on the job, well, somehow, if I can find a way to express that to human resources or to a counselor, I'm going to say, you know, my job is a place where fear is being incubated, and because of that fear, I hate going to work. You see what I'm saying, I hope. So to that end, broaden the scope of what I'm saying here. Look at the zone that we all are having to live with, the zone that we can find easily of fear and hurt. And when our fears have not been expressed, when we have not been fully able to identify our fears, if we haven't had good conversations with family and trusted counselors, well, those fears just sort of lay there. They fester inside of us. And then out of that fear, then hurts are going to develop. And then out of those hurts, then here comes hate. My experience growing up as a kid in a dysfunctional family was complicated by the fact that I also grew up in the north side of Milwaukee during the tumultuous civil rights days of challenging the establishment. We were living in the best of days and the worst of days in the United States in the 60s in rightful ways, our federal government in particular was seeking to implement a Civil Rights Act and finally did get that enacted. Well, then out of that, we found ourselves in the tumultuous changes that came about. It landed in North Milwaukee in the integration challenge, which was the Milwaukee Public Schools sought to integrate children, black and white, into schools together. And man, I deeply appreciate the fact that that happened. I certainly have every reason to be grateful that I had that opportunity. But here's the problem. It was done in a sudden immersive way. And the problem was there weren't enough professionals to go around in public school hallways to help manage that. I know there were some. I know that there were some great teachers that I got the opportunity to be related with but surely not enough. In fact, a good many of the teachers, especially in my middle school experience, were very ill-equipped. Most of them were white. Most of them were trying to navigate the integration issues of Peckham Junior High School, middle school. And wow, were we ever in a Petri dish? Petri dish is a place where you experiment with certain elements that you put into an isolation and see how they relate with one another. Well, here we were, a school that had been predominantly white was now being integrated with students from other neighborhoods into this mix of about 50-50, maybe a little less or more on one side or the other. But for the sake of my conversation here, we were introduced to the potential zone of love, but it was also the potential zone of fear and hate. There were lots of violent issues going on in our hallways. I got beat up a few times just because I was a skinny white kid and I had a big dumb mouth at the time, because my big dumb mouth came out of the zone of fear and hurt that I grew up in. I was in a home where fear and hurt was being practiced quite well, if I could put it so gently. So the combination put me in a place of a lot of fear and hurt. But I found also, now listen to this carefully, I'm straining this a bit, so bear with me. I found also friendships with African-American students and friends around me that fostered in me a young middle school aged mindset that determined to find a way to love. Now, I couldn't have defined it quite that eloquently then, but I can now. I know I made some choices inside of me the best way I could, some of it for survival. But I made choices to leave the zone of fear and hurt. And I made choices to enter a zone of love. And here's one of the choices I made. Now, I'm really condensing this, but one of the choices I made was I so loved the voice of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Something inside of me jumped up inside and said, oh, I want more of him and more of that. I couldn't eloquently describe it like I just did, but I had an instinct about it. So I went to the school library and a couple of public libraries, and I researched Dr. King, found his writings, I found his books, and I was enthralled. Something lit on the inside of me. I left the zone of fear and hurt, almost like a lost Boy Scout in the woods. I just said, you know, I got to get out of this zone. I got to find my way out of here. And to that end, I survived. And thank God for the development of my heart as I realized the civil rights movement of the United States of America was a healing history that I got the privilege of being a part of in its infancy in the 60s. And I still am the benefactor of that to this day. The zone of fear and hurt was being addressed. Clumsily, yeah. But it was a beginning point. It was an infant type way of introducing how to live in a way of acceptance and integration. So to that end, we journeyed, we journeyed in the city of Milwaukee into better days. And certainly those challenges still exist in that city. Now, let me come back to my own family. In my own family, no one there knew how to find help. I certainly didn't, and my mom and dad certainly didn't, and my brother, in his addictions and in his mental health challenges, he most certainly did not know how to get out of that zone of fear and hurt. And so we journeyed on and found, in my high school years, we found a church. I can only say by the grace of God, my mom especially found a church. She dragged my dad, and he found that church to be a life-giving thing. Well, I was in a place in my high school years, like most high school boys, because I was so much battling the zone of fear and hurt, I was resistant. Until somebody from that church, who this gentleman was an old Nazi. He was a German Nazi who had immigrated to the States after World War II, which an awful lot of German citizens did after World War II. Many of them came to the city of Milwaukee and into that area around in southeast Wisconsin. Paul Herzog was his name. And this guy found me. I don't remember how old he was, but he seemed like he was 100 years old. He's probably about the same age I am now, but he seemed like this old man with a heavy German accent. And he came to our home one day and surprised me. And he said, "Randy, I had a dream about you. And in my dream, I saw you crying out, 'Nobody loves me.' And God told me in my dream to come here and tell you, God loves you, and I love you." Wow. You could have pushed me over with a little tiny feather. My throat locked up in that I'm going to cry any second now. And why? Because that was my first exit from a zone of fear and hurt. You couldn't have beat me hard enough to get me to define it the way I just did, but in that moment, I saw the exit sign from the zone of fear and hurt. And then later, I did go to that church because I found love there. I found love through good old Paul Herzog. I found love through a phenomenal youth pastor, phenomenal music director. Those guys took me under their wing. They trusted me with my guitar when nobody else would. And anyway, all I'm saying is I found love. And I took the exit sign. And I went out of the zone of fear and hurt. And when I did, shortly thereafter, in my first year of undergraduate work in college, a Bible college, my dad had a traumatic experience where he was in a coma for several days. I was in school in Texas. I flew home quick to be at his bedside with my mother. And my dad came out of that trauma. And at one night, he called for me to come up to see him in the hospital. I went up there not understanding what might be there. And Dad looked me in the eye when I got to his hospital room. And he said, "Randy, I realize that you're almost 19, and I have never said, I love you. I've never said, I love you." Well, once again, my throat locked up, and the exit sign showed me, here's the way out of the zone of fear and hurt. I took that exit sign haltingly, fearfully, nervously, and I entered the zone of love. Once again, at the time I could not eloquently as I'm trying to now describe it to you, but I'm telling you, I entered the zone of love. And I'm talking to you now, whoever you are, wherever you are listening to this, there are places of fear and hurt that you're living in, just like I was. And you have other stories to tell of that zone of fear and hurt. And I hope you can find the exit sign through what I'm telling you right now. That when we say the three most magical, holy, charmed words in the human language, and we say them with intention and a full connection. Once again, my dad, he just haltingly from a hospital bed looked at me and said, "Randy, I love you." And the magic started. Those holy, magical, charmed words pulled me out of a terrible, terrible spiral that I didn't even know I was in in the zone of fear and hurt. And so to this day, I'm still finding my way out of that zone and into the zone of love. To be sure, when I'm hurt and when I'm afraid now, I still have to look for those exit signs. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So on that note, would you join me in being brave enough to enter a place of help and health and healing by practicing saying, I love you? And I know saying it to a stranger is awkward and weird and startling, but I'm suggesting maybe we need to get rid of the awkward, weird, and startling factor of that. And the only way to get rid of it is to practice. But I'm more particularly now inviting you to join me in saying it to significant people in your life. Certainly your spouse, certainly your family, certainly siblings, certainly parents, somebody, good friends. Shake it up. We're in a time where the zone of fear and hurt is increasingly intense. It's very similar to the civil rights challenges of the 60s. And somebody, somewhere, going to have to be brave enough to show people the exit sign. Find the way to get off of this, out of this zone of fear and hurt. And to make that as simple as a doorway that looks like, I love you. I don't think Paul Herzog, that restored human being, by the way, I said he had been a Nazi soldier, but he found the love of God in his life, and he became this towering, decent gentleman in our church in that day and time. And out of his experience, he became a voice in the wilderness for Randy Dean. I hope I'm being a voice in the wilderness for somebody. I hope you hear my voice in your path. I hope you can hear me saying to you, whoever you are, wherever you're at, listen to me carefully. I love you. Mother Teresa said one time, there's more hunger for love in this world than there is for bread. And this comes from a human being who spent all of her life feeding starving people in Calcutta, India. So she knew a lot about real starvation, but she said the greater starvation in the human condition is a starvation for love. And if it can be just as simple as recognizing that saying I love you, better a little snack than waiting for a whole meal. Mother Teresa also said it's important for us, each one of us, to go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. And to put a hybrid note on it for what I'm saying to you today, let's give people a reason to get out of that room called hate, hurt, and fear that's developed into hate. Let's show them the exit by loving them, lighting a new light in the hearts of others. Mother Teresa also said, we cannot do great things in this life, but we can do small things with great love. I challenge you on those levels. Biggest mistake we make, like my dad was when I was 19, biggest mistake we make is thinking we still have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Show people the exit sign out of the zone of fear and hurt. Now, I'm no Mother Teresa, but I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and I'm offering you no BS right now. When I say to you, let's do something beautiful. Ugly has had its day, and ugly is getting done to death, and lives are in the balance. And in that regard, I'm challenging you, join me, do something beautiful. And let's make sure that along the way, in every way we know how, small or great, let's show people the zone of love and give them an opportunity to leave that zone of fear and hurt. God bless you all. I'm so glad you gave me a half an hour of your life and time. Happy trails, y'all, and I love you.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.